And the last speaker of the session, and I'm going to talk to you about something a little bit different, which is avocados. And avocados and avocado breeding is much, much more primitive than the speakers previous to me, that we don't have the understanding of what gene controls what traits, but we're slowly getting there. So, but I'm really going to talk to you this morning about using consumer panels to discover seasonality and acceptability of avocados. And this is a program that's been conducted at the University of California, Riverside. So there are several challenges for finding new avocado varieties. One of the things that we're looking for is a precocious tree, because typically avocados can take up to 4 or 5, even longer, years to even bear fruit. And we have lines now in California that are precocious, that bear fruit within 2 years. We're also looking for a material that has low alternate bearing tendency, because that's a big problem, and we are looking for fruit with high quality. The other thing is worldwide, the industry is going to high density plantings, and so we want to go from the tree on the right, which is actually a Carmen Hass, which is tall and very spreading, to something that is on the left, which is a slender upright tree that may be more adaptable to high density planting. Other challenges for breeding avocado varieties is their long seasonality. They hang on the tree for very long times, typically like here in California for the Hass season. The commercial harvest season begins in February, and it goes into August and September. And growers, what they will do typically, will come in and they will size pick fruit 4 or 5 times during that season. So we have one variety on the market for a long period of time. The other problem when you want to evaluate fruit is that you have to ripen it. We've been using ethylene. We have a low-tech ethylene treatment. We put apples in with the avocados, and that actually works quite well. I've learned that there are high ethylene producers and low ethylene producer apple varieties, and we use the high ethylene producers. Golden Delicious is great. And the ripening time depends on maturity. So a lot of Thomas talked about trial and error. Well, ripening avocados is trial and error for sure. And we have differences between the different lines. Some ripen very easily and some don't ripen very fast at all. We also know that eating quality changes throughout the season, and this is one reason that drove me to want to start doing consumer panels to look at eating quality of avocados. And the industry standard Hass, which is greater than 90% of all avocados that you can buy in the United States, is Hass. About 30% of that fruit comes from California. About close to 50% of that fruit comes from Mexico, and the other two major sources of Hass avocado in the U.S. market now is currently Chile and Peru. And so there are some people in the industry in California said, well, in this sea of Hass avocados, we need to have something different, therefore we need a breeding program. But Hass is a very high quality fruit, and it sets a very high standard for eating quality. So when we started this, I'm trained as a post-harvest person, and I was very lucky. For many years, I've collaborated with David Oberlin, who works for USDA, and we started off a project with Hass avocados, trying to figure out what contributes to a positive eating experience for the Hass avocado, just to understand what was going on. And we started off with a semi-expert panel. I don't have any alligators to coerce people to come and participate in a trained panel like Liz talked about. The only thing we had up at the Kearney Egg Center, which is by Parlier, is an individual who was a good baker, and she would make wonderful cakes and pies and whatever to entice people to come. So we ended up with a pool of about 20, 25 people. And we took a list of initial descriptors that was developed at the Department of Plant and Food in New Zealand with Alan Wolf, and we used those descriptors to start off with. And to make a long story short, we found that those descriptors that are outlined in red were positively correlated with a positive eating experience, And those outlined in blue were the main ones that were associated with a negative eating experience. And I'll come back to, you see sweet under flavor, and I'll come back to that one. That one was highly correlated with a positive eating experience, but less than 25% of our semi-expert panel would associate a positive, would select that descriptor for an eating experience with avocado. And it got very inconsistent and inconclusive results related to aftertaste, and I'll come back to that a little bit later. Well, I mentioned to you that avocados change their flavor through the season, and so we also did a project where we went and we harvested fruit from the same grove over multiple times of the year. And indeed, we found that these little blue dots are individual fruit dry matter, and the red line, this is the relationship of fruit maturity as measured by dry matter to likability of the fruit. And indeed, you see that the general likability goes up as the dry matter increases, but dry matter is really an imperfect predictor. And one of the things that we did is that David looked at, we took fruit and we looked at the volatile profiles. We saw this long list of floral volatiles. Avocados are much more simple. There's only about 30 compounds that we were able to detect. And these three compounds actually were very important and highly correlated with that grassy flavor. And so as you saw through the season, the grassy flavor declines. You see consumer acceptability go up, and these grassy compounds actually decline in the ripe fruit. So that takes us to what we've been doing with the breeding program. We started this in January of 2012, and since that time, except for 1 month, we've had a monthly taste panel. I'm doing this at UC Riverside in the botany department, and we're using willing volunteers and avocado fans. So, well, that's interesting. Change that. So what did we do? We collect data on the visual and eating acceptability of the fruit. That's what we're trying to do. Unfortunately, we don't have time or the space to do cut fruit, although at some point in time I will do that. So we use 6 varieties per month. Every month we include halves from a commercial source. We get the fruit from a local packing house that pre-ripens the halves for us. And it comes from different sources. It comes from, most of the time we try to stick with California fruit during the California season, but certain times of the year we use fruit from Mexico, Chile, or Peru. We also collect this data associated with the taste panel, fruit size, dry weight or maturity, the firmness when the fruit is ripe, because I want to make sure that we're providing the fruit at least by the same penetrometer. Reading, the shape of the fruit, color, and we also collect demographic data from our panelists. Oh, that's interesting. Well, this is supposed to be the visual rating. We rate overall likability, peel color, texture, fruit shape, and size. This is just a picture. This is done out in the lobby. And then we go into one of our conference rooms, and we do the flavor evaluation. We've done this now. We're almost finished with the third year. The first year, we collected descriptor data, similar to what we had done with the semi-expert panel. And then this last year and a half, we've been collecting data just using the most common descriptors. There's also a very important social aspect. Liz talked about the treats. A lot of people come to the panel just to taste the habanero sauce, actually, that Eric Folk, the technician on the program, makes. And so he's very popular in his but you can't have the habanero until you've tasted the avocados. So we started off having about 30 people in 1 hour, and we're up to 60 people. We can't handle more than 60 people, and we're turning people away. So it has become a social event, actually, for the campus community. We have people coming from all over campus. We have a mailing list of about 300 people currently. So what have we learned? Well, based on the descriptor data, I'm just going to show you the positive attributes. This is now using that data from, this data set's about 1,500 data points taken over a year. You see that indeed associated with high hedonic score you have buttery and nutty. We didn't see a very good correlation with the term savory in the semi-expert panel, but in this case, people do associate a savory type fruit. We don't know what savory really means in terms of the volatiles, but with high likability. And then I mentioned the sweetness before, and here again we have a small subset of people who clearly associate a fruit that is sweet with a positive eating experience. Negative eating experience is related to grassy flavor on the fruit primarily. In terms of texture, not surprisingly, creamy and smooth fruit are highly prized, and watery fruit that have a watery texture were found to be down on the lower level of the hedonic scale. We changed how we asked for aftertaste. We just asked people if it is none pleasant or unpleasant aftertaste, and when you look at it that way, you can see definitely that high scores are definitely related to a pleasant aftertaste. The blue line is no aftertaste, and it's sort of in the middle, and then the fruit that has an unpleasant aftertaste obviously has a low scores. So we were able to validate the results of the semi-expert panel. We actually got insights into aftertaste. And one thing that we do need to do now is look more carefully into what are the volatiles that are associated with that negative aftertaste. And in terms of all the varieties that we looked at, because this is average data set across all the varieties, the trends are basically the same with all the varieties. So how about the new selections that we have from the breeding program? Well, this is just a snapshot from one of the last month's taste panel. We present three fruit for people to look at and feel and touch. And in general, the most important attribute that people seem to like that's correlated with overall acceptability of the visual appearance is fruit size. People really like big avocados. We haven't hit the ceiling yet on what is a too big. And so that is really interesting. This middle fruit here, people like the shape and the texture of the peel, but it was a smaller fruit, and it fell down in the overall likability because of fruit size. So this would be an example of what we would get on a individual month. This is last month's taste panel. And so the green bar is Hass here on the left of each graph, and this is Gem Avocado, which is a more recent release from the breeding program. And these are the other varieties. So in terms of visual appearance, you can see this overall visual acceptability. This is a variety that was small. And you can see it was just about neutral score, neither like or dislike, where everything else is in the like category. But Gem actually was greater than this. If we go to the eating acceptability of the data, though, you will see that this fruit was statistically highly preferred over everything else. And in this particular month, which was we used imported Hass from Peru, for whatever reason, that fruit was not preferred. It was not really liked at all. It's just basically neutral. The second highest was Gem, and then we have these three others. So we get this kind of data every month, and time across all years. And so this red line here is the Hass, because we're using Hass as the control every month. And you can see this is a visual that this fruit here is a green skin. And we present the ripe fruit to the panelists. And so here you can see that people really do prefer, or I would say more trained to like black fruit than green fruit. but you can see in general, except for this fruit that's in red, everything is above a neutral and everything is in the like category. And people do consistently like the appearance of Hass, but we do have some selections that definitely are equal to Hass over time. Now, if we look at eating quality or eating acceptability, again, the red line is the HAS, and then these are the different points from the different selections. That's to tell me I ran on my time. But you can see we have things here that we definitely have material in the breeding program that is equal or comparable to HAS, which is good news. So in the big picture, we have a range of selections that are comparable to HAS. We've gained insights into the seasonality, which will assist us in making recommendations to the industry. And also we have dry matter data, because in California, I also have to make a recommendation to the California Department of Food and Agriculture for a minimum maturity for the each avocado variety. And so we're going to have that data based on this as well. So this is the last slide. I just want to thank the staff who helped me. Eric Folk, who's the main man in the program. He does the field work, and he does all the PR work. Margie Crowley, who assists them, and my graduate student, Rodrigo Iterata, and his wife, Pamela, who always put the trays together, and Rodrigo's done all the statistics summary for us so far. We've just submitted this data set to a statistician, and hopefully we'll be able to come up with some biplots here in the future that I can present. So with that, thank you very much.